Hello, friends and family, and thank you for tuning into the Duncan Trussell Family Hour. This is a historic moment for me because I've just realized that I can run a microphone cable from my recording device to my hammock. So I'm able to now record these opening monologues while laying in my hammock and staring up at the palm trees waving in front of me and listen to the beautiful sounds of my neighborhood. Today is an interesting episode, and for those of you who are tuned into this thing for the blast of supreme positivity that it gives you, you might want to skip this one and wait for the next episode, because this isn't what I would call one of my happiest episodes. Today's guest you know him best for his podcast on cinema, which he does with Greg Turkington, also known as Neil Hamburger. He's also done a little bit of TV work. He has been on the Eric and Tim show on Adult Swim, and he's done a couple of movies, and he's also happens to have had an album that's made it to the top of the charts. And he's done sellout tours. His name's Tim Heidecker. He's been on when we did the Lavender Hour, he was on the Lavender Hour a couple of times. I actually forgot that he'd even been on earlier podcasts that I'd done. When I emailed him, it was one of those, mass emails that were BCC'd, and I sent it just to probably 700 people, 800 people that I was inviting to do the podcast, and he was the first to respond. He responded in 2 minutes, because I guess he's really eager to get on a podcast. And then I remembered after he responded that he had been on a couple of Lavender Hours before, and those were two pretty painfully awkward episodes. The last one was so awkward, in fact, that Tim got a national backlash and was forced to do an apology. And I'm just going to go ahead and play that apology now.
Here's my apology. My apology is that you and Natasha have somehow cultivated an audience of retarded people who think that their opinions matter, and also that they think that a podcast guest is somehow required to be prepared, be interesting, or give any effort towards something that ultimately is meaningless, and they're doing out of the goodness of their heart and for free, I might add. All the best.
So I figured, what the heck, I'll have him back on the show again. And he came over, and within, as you'll see in this podcast coming up, within a minute, he was attacking me, attacking you guys, and it just sort of snowballed and turned into what you're about to hear. So this might be one of those not safe for lunch podcasts, but not everything's positive. Not everything in the world is bright and light and filled with beauty. You know, if you watch turn on a nature video and watch it for 3 minutes, and you'll see a hyena burrowing its way into the half-dead body of an elephant while the elephant's babies weep and watch from the jungle. It's not a beautiful world. You know, not everybody wears the mask of peace and love. So there's your warning. We'll get on with the podcast in a second, but first, some business. For the longest time, I would find myself crying at random moments throughout the day, and I didn't know why. I'd be on the interstate, and I'd suddenly just start sobbing. I'd wake up in the morning and start sobbing. I'd eat lunch and go into the restroom and start sobbing. I was crying all day long, and nobody knew what it was. I went to my family doctor, and he said, I have no idea. I was contacted by some wonderful people in Thailand who run a t-shirt company called Sure Design T-Shirts, and they asked if I'd like to try on some of their super soft t-shirts, and I said, absolutely, I'd love that, and they sent me some of these t-shirts, which are made of the softest material available on planet Earth. I put these shirts on, I spent a day wearing these shirts, and I realized I hadn't cried all day long. Now I know the reason I was crying was because I was having an allergic reaction to uncomfortable cotton, and this cotton was making me weep because I have very sensitive skin, which has been compared to the underbelly of a baby dolphin. What I realized after I wore Sure Design t-shirts is that I had been spending the majority of my life like a dolphin in a net, and the moment I put these soft shirts on, I was free and my life changed. I immediately started making over $100,000 a day, and I started having sex 5 to 8 times a day. Sure Design t-shirts are made from a combination of collected stardust wiped from the necks of angels and kitten eyeballs, which have been pulverized and mixed together into a fine paste. The combination of these two things creates a substance that is 6 million times softer than spider thread. This is woven together in Thailand in their factories using baby gnomes that have been lassoed and tenderized by dragging them from behind carriages pulled by unicorns. That's Sure Design t-shirts. You can have one of these shirts by going to suredesignt-shirts.com, and you get 10% off if you put my name in whatever the thing is that you put it in when you buy the shirts. suredesignt-shirts.com. They sponsor the Doug and Trussell Family Hour. Don't be a jerk. Go buy one of these shirts. You'll love it. You'll stop crying all day long, and your life will dramatically transform for the better. And as long as you're buying stuff on the internet, why don't you go visit the Duncan Trussell Family Hour shop and order some t-shirts or one of my wonderful chaos posters. And if you don't want to order the shirts or a chaos poster, at least go to DuncanTrussell.com and join the Family Hour forum and get in on a conversation that is reverberating through the world like the way the Liberty Bell sounded before it cracked. Now, everyone, please welcome and turn your third eyes in the direction of someone who, even after this podcast, I still consider a wonderful friend of mine and a very talented and super funny person. Please welcome to the Doug and Trussell Family Hour, Tim Heidecker.
I almost feel like I know what my voice sounds like now, and I want to not use the headphones.
Okay, so I am here with Tim Heidecker. He's back again. This is the third time you've been on one of my podcasts, and it's great to have you back.
Thanks for having me. I honestly, you wrote me yesterday about coming on, and I didn't. I hesitated. I didn't. I think the exact response was, I guess.
Well, it seems like you wrote me back immediately, though.
I'm always checking my email.
No, but it was probably four minutes, and usually it takes longer for people to email back, especially when they're hesitating.
I just didn't have an excuse. I didn't have anything to do today.
Well, you would have thought of an excuse.
Well, I was... last time I did your podcast, I said, I'm not doing that again.
Got some questions from the fans.
Because
I got some questions from the fans. I put on my message board, Tim Heidecker is going to be on the show, and didn't get a lot of questions. Not a lot of people responded to that thread, but I did.
Well, here's what I want to say about that. After I did the last episode.
Though mostly unappreciated by the vast majority of people on Earth, your comedy is unique, and some people describe it as being from another era.
Another era?
Era. I'm not sure. Era. How would you respond to that?
I have no response to that.
All right.
But if I could just get across the one thought that I had about doing this podcast.
Go ahead.
And not be interrupted by viewer mail. When was the last time I did this? It was about a year ago or so.
It was, I don't know, six. Yeah. I don't know.
And we had sort of a we had a, you know, there's not a lot of thought that goes into these conversations. We don't plan anything. There was no right. discussion about what we were going to talk about.
Right.
And we have a certain natural rhythm that we have in our personal lives with each other that we naturally translate to when we're talking on yes. this show. We don't try to pretend to be somebody nope. we're not. And I don't exactly know who your audience is. I don't know who's listening to this show, but
very intelligent.
There were immediately savvy there people. Was some kind of message, and I shouldn't look at these message boards. I know, but there were some very nasty comments about my appearance on the show, and I felt that why should I bother doing this? You know, why these people that your audience doesn't want to listen to, doesn't want to hear from me apparently, and doesn't seem to like me. So I don't know why I would come back on. But I also have that I also like you as a friend and don't want to disappoint you. And I, yeah. you asked me to do something and yeah. I said, I'm going to do it. Why not?
Right.
I struggled with that. But I do want to say that it's hurtful.
Let's cut to commercial. And we're back with more viewer questions.
Viewer questions.
Whatever you want to call it, man.
I'd call it listener questions. Okay. Unless this is being filmed.
Well, you could do that when you do your podcast. You could call it listener questions, and on mine, I'll call it viewer questions. Here's one. do you like turtles? That's from Dr. Bob.
Sure.
Well, okay. Here's one from Wolves at My Door. Do you think that, what are the things that make you laugh?
Well, you know, my friends and, jokes, comedies. I love, comedy films. Spies Like Us, Ghostbusters, Blues Brothers, The Great Outdoors.
Here's a good one. This is from Smartest Guy on the Board. It says, do you think by constantly deconstructing everything around you, you're actually avoiding an aching, cancerous cavity that sits right at your heart chakra?
Was that from Marc Maron? I don't know. I don't know what a heart chakra is, so I wouldn't be able to comment for. Why don't you put down those questions? I don't think anyone wants to hear what other people have to say. They want to hear what we have to say.
Right.
So I haven't seen you in a while. What's been going on with you?
You're not. You don't switch the interview. You don't. This is a.
I can try.
I've been doing the podcast. You know, I've been having some great guests over. Mm-hmm. Having a lot of great interviews with some excellent guests and. Been going out on the road and doing some stand-up comedy.
Cool.
This is a great question here. RedJ22, word on the street is that you and Eric are putting together a new Tim and Eric-style show with Duncan, Doug Pound, and Brendan Walsh slated to be leads. Any truth to that rumor?
No.
Okay.
Well, was there something else you wanted to talk about? I'm trying. I mean, you're just reading these questions. You don't have any questions of your own, or you don't want to bring up a conversation. You know, start a conversation.
Well, you started off attacking You start off attacking the audience.
I'm not trying to attack the audience. I'm being honest about my reaction to their reaction to my last appearance.
You are you're abrasive in the last appearance. You are abrasive. Some people would say. That you were rude in the last appearance. You were a little rude.
I think we were both being a little rude to each other. We were both playing off each other's energies.
I was being very cordial. I was being very open with you. And
Your cell phone off when we're doing an
interview? Yeah, I must have forgot. You were, you came over and I guess you'd woken up on the cranky side of the diaper. And you were being a little rude. So...
Do you remember what I said that was rude? I don't remember what
I blocked it out.
Okay.
I go to therapy every week. And
to block things out? Is that what you go to therapy to do?
To try to excavate down into the pain cellar.
I would think if it was such a troublesome memory that you'd have access to it more.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a troublesome memory. It was just more like a long car trip with my grandparents up the.
Well, then why did you ask me on again?
Because I like you. I want to help you. I feel like
what's there to help? I mean,
you've got this. You've got this new film coming out.
The film's out.
Comedy. The comedy guy.
Oh, the comedy's coming out in October.
There you go.
So we should have probably scheduled this a little closer to the release of that.
You've got that coming out. It's getting some really great reviews.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very proud of that film. I think you're going to enjoy it. I think possibly your audience will, depending on, you know, I don't know. Some of them might not.
Tim and Eric.
I don't know who your audience is. I don't know who my audience is. I don't know what everybody's doing out there listening to podcasts. It seems a little like there might be more options for entertainment out there than these podcasts.
Let's talk about your podcast, On Cinema.
On Cinema is a little passion project of mine. I've been doing it for, will this air this week?
Yeah.
Okay. We've done 35 episodes or something like that. Just a tremendous amount of work and tremendous amount of commitment to the art of discussing films with Greg Turkington and some other guests. And I'm having fun doing it. It's sort of something I shouldn't be spending as much time on as I do. But as you know, making podcasts yourself, there's something addictive about about being able to make something very easily and cheaply and disposable and just launch it and have an audience that listens to it and seems to like it. So I'm having a good time doing that.
So it's a passion project?
Well, I'm not doing it for the money because there's no money in it.
What are some other passion projects for you?
Well, my music. I make a lot of music, that no one will ever hear because it never gets finished and it just kind of gets made and for the sake of making it. And I have Heidecker and Wood, which is the band I have with Davin Wood. And gardening, cooking, spending time with my dogs. These are all passion projects of mine.
That's pretty great. That's great.
I am a little down today because I was watching the Johnny Carson documentary last night. Did you watch that?
No.
It was on last night.
I don't have cable.
Well, it was on PBS.
I don't have TV. Not everybody's, not just so you know, I know you think,
here we go.
You think that everybody's got a big hit show on Adult Swim and everybody's just flying through life with, you know, with spitting out grits or whatever you guys put in your mouth to do imitation vomit. I know you think everybody's just dancing around with harvested freaks and make lots of money and have big TVs in their houses, but not everybody has that. So, you know, PBS to you is something you just do with your dogs. PBS.
It's funny. I never thought of television as like an elitist thing.
Luxury.
Yeah. Well,
it's a luxury.
Okay, but I would safely assume that most people throughout the economic spectrum have access to television, especially PBS.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that I would imagine that there's some pretty good research on that too that could lean that direction.
Mr. 1% Heidecker.
No,
here.
I mean, I grew up in a middle class family. We had a television, two televisions.
Yeah, and then you hit it big.
And
you hit it big.
Funny story. I have a TV that I got. I've had the TV that I own right now since 2007.
Here's a question. What's it like working with Will Ferrell?
Will's great. I mean, he's one of the funniest guys in America and just one of the nicest guys in America. You know, I've met a lot of people and he's definitely up there. He's the CEO of one of the greatest companies in the world, Funny or Die. Mm-hmm. They make some of the greatest comedy content that's ever existed. And I'm talking about going all the way back to Chaplin. And I have nothing bad to say about Will Ferrell.
Do you you probably find yourself attracting a lot of really nice guys into your life?
Yes, that just sounded weird. It sounded
why?
Sounded sexual.
Really?
Attracting.
That sounds sexual to you?
Attracting a lot of nice guys into your life.
That's what you, when you hear that, you think sex. Huh?
For a second, I went there.
Why do you think you went there? You're a merry guy.
Yeah. I don't know. The word attracted makes me think of being of a romantic.
That makes me think of my last stepdad who was gay, and my I didn't know it. I don't even know if he knew it for years. I don't know if he knew it, but then I found a VHS tape in his drawer. I was going through his drawer. I was on acid and found a VHS tape and went upstairs, and it was leather porn.
But did he not know? Did he wasn't out, obviously.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he had a VHS tape of like guys with handlebar mustaches.
Oh.
And
did he ever come out?
Glory
then?
Hole. Yeah, after he came out after the divorce from my mom. Okay. And then he started living with guys. But that was kind of that was like his thing. You know, like his thing was finding guys who were married. Who were married.
Right.
And were a little unsure of their sexuality. And, you know, helping them get out of a trap that they put themselves in. Because if you end up in a trap, man, if you end up stuck in a marriage and you're gay, you don't have to stay there. You can get out.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. you're making some kind of attempt at humor by insinuating that that's my situation.
Attempt at humor. I was living with a man.
I understand that.
Tortured by his desires.
Right. Well, what I was, before you went off on that tangent, I was talking about being depressed by watching the Johnny Carson documentary. And until you went on this sort of jag about not having TV, which is very cool, by the way, to not have a TV.
Yeah, I do it. That's why I do it.
But do you have a computer, correct? And an iPad. I see an iPad in front of me. That looks like the new iPad, is it the iPad 2? So there seems to be, he seems to have a connection to technology.
That's for my business.
Uh-huh. And you don't watch stuff on that? Because there's a PBS app. In fact, I'm going
to... Please don't touch that. Really? I don't...
Well, can I turn you on to the PBS app? And you can watch whatever's on PBS.
What's an
PBS.
App? I just use that to type what's an app.
Okay. Well, I'm watching this, which is, you know, if you're in the entertainment industry and you're having this, which is essentially a talk show, this podcast.
Yep.
I highly recommend you watch this. It's sad to me because it feels like those days are long gone, where there was quality and your audience was enormous.
Yes.
And there was a homogenization that was... A homogenization of the... where the country was all kind of watching the same thing.
My stepdad, a homosexual, was... this is something that it reminds me of. I don't mean to keep going back to it, but married guy, of course, because he's my stepdad. But he would get so depressed, man, and just go into these deep, deep funks.
I bet, yeah.
Because it's tough, man. It's tough living in that place. So go on.
What I was slightly depressed by was just this. It's funny. My friend has that same candle. Duncan has candles lit all over his house. Anyways, it's just strange. I just saw that same candle.
What's strange?
I just saw that same candle at my friend's house like 2 days ago.
Yeah. What's strange about that?
No, I mean it's like a specific design. Anyway. There doesn't exist that unifying cultural totem pole in our culture anymore.
Right.
Which everybody's dispersed. Everybody's sort of run back to their own little camps.
And your idea of like the way you'd like to see the world, and then we'll cut to commercial, I'll get you more coffee. The way you'd like to see the world is you'd like to see people gathered around that pole.
I don't know. I don't know if, I mean, certainly up for debate whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing, or if the diversity that exists now is a good thing or a bad thing. But it did make me feel nostalgic, and because I grew up when I was a little kid, Johnny Carson was still on the air, and there was a very limited number of options to watch. And there was a sense of like everybody saw the same thing, and everybody could talk about the same thing. Everybody was somewhat on the same page, more or less. Now everybody has their own little niche and their own little thing that they do, and you know, then you just kind of gather amongst your little clan and talk about the same things. You all watch the same five things, and we could become more and more dispersed.
So you're the kind of person who would only who only wants a few items at the buffet.
I think there's a place for variety in a variety of parts of our existence. Variety is terrific. Variety is essential to nature.
Wow, that's great.
So,
we're gonna
let me just finish my thought I'm just saying that there should be some.
I know what you're saying, man. You get in a pattern. You're the same things happening again and again.
Right.
Especially in marriage situations.
The feedback loop.
Your mind starts wandering. You start.
I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about my personal life at all. And I won't be talking about my personal life on this show, ever.
And we're back. You're listening to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour. I'm here at my house with Tim Heidecker, who is known for doing some shows. And
this is terrific coffee, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So,
I came in and you offered me coffee. I said, yeah, I'd love some coffee. And he pours me coffee, but without asking, adds milk to the coffee.
Pretty common.
Which I don't know. I think you generally say, do you want milk and sugar? I take my coffee black.
Right.
I mean, no sugar or anything.
Well, I've seen your stuff. You seem more like a cream guy.
Right.
But that's, I get it. You like it black. So now we know. The world knows.
But the assumption that I'm just going to go ahead and put milk in that coffee was slight. It was a little amusing. I'm not saying it's a big deal, but it's just kind of funny.
A lot of people want to know, many of your sketches. That's funny. That's good. You do good impressions. Many of your sketches revolve around this kind of homoeroticism. A lot of scenes with Eric where you guys are scantily clad, and a lot of other scenes where you're using butt plug type things and a lot of phallic stuff. A lot of people are curious, where does that come from when you're working on those sketches? Do you write those sketches or do other people write those sketches for you?
We write our sketches, Eric and I and Doug Lusenhop and John Kreisel, John Mugar. I don't think there's I know what you're trying to do with this whole podcast is put over this sort of gay
not at all
joke, which is for me it's like I'm a little the general Tim and Eric sensibility is sort of like we're all past that. We don't really think about it.
I don't think it's wrong. I don't think it's bad.
And it's sort of
still talk to my stepdad. I don't think it's wrong at all. I'm 100% for gay marriage. I think it's fine.
Right. So we're very comfortable with our sexuality and our bodies, and also think that there's funny things about the human body and the way we react to it and relationships. And so I understand what you're trying to do. You're trying to create this thread going through the episode where we're dancing around, homosexual issues. And that might be funny to some of your audience who still is sort of behaving, and has this sort of juvenile sensibility that gay is fun. Gay equals funny.
Right.
And being gay is funny. But
you guys don't have that at all. Not in your show.
I'm sure we do. I mean, I'm sure we have that. I'm sure there's people that think that's funny.
Because one thing a lot of people say when they're talking about the Tim and Eric show is it's one of the most mature shows on the air.
I've never heard that.
That's because I made it up. I was being sarcastic.
Right. We just don't get real. We don't get into issues.
You come over. You got a pink shirt with a collar on. You're wearing khaki pants.
Salmon
colored shirt. You're wearing khaki pants. You come over like you're ready to play golf, and then you start shaking the "I'm a grown up" stick around.
Well, I'm just coming to you with whatever I have no agenda. I have nothing written down. I have no plan for what I'm going to talk about. All I'm saying is I see what you're doing. And that's the direction that this podcast is going. That's fine. But I'm going to react to it honestly.
You should be a podcast detective.
That would be very good. Or a humorologist. No? Humorologist?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Study humor?
It's pretty good.
But what else did you want to ask? You were telling me off the air about the about how much you like our Tim and Eric Night Live. You want to talk about that? That'd be nice.
Yeah. Tim and Eric Night Live. I really do think that it's all joking aside and the whole like us being crass with each other and, mm-hmm. and that. I think that of all your strokes of luck, Tim and Eric Night Live was a home run.
Strokes of luck? I mean, what kind of backhanded it's not remark is that?
I'm just saying when you're throwing out the rant with the D&D dice and mm-hmm. picking out your variables that you put together in your sketches,
okay.
you got really lucky mm-hmm. with that series of things coming together. Very funny and yeah. Particularly hilarious is Bob Odenkirk mm-hmm. as the movie reviewer guy.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that show I honestly recall as being some of the most fun times we ever had. It was on a little defunct website now called Super Deluxe, and it came out right when Funny or Die came out, actually. And it was the folks at Adult Swim and Turner put that website together, and we convinced them to give us money to make this live talk show. And every Tuesday, we'd go down to our studio where we made Awesome Show, and we'd shoot a half-hour talk show. We'd write it that morning, and you know, like Letterman or something. And I gotta say that I think that stuff, like you said, as off the air, you said that it's very funny. I think it's one of the best things we've ever done. And it's on our website, timanderic.com. You can go watch all of them. There's 12 of them. And it's just, it's a fun, you know, the problem with that show was that this was 2007, 2008.
Yeah.
Most people weren't comfortable watching that long. It was 25 minutes, 30 minutes show. They weren't comfortable watching something that long on their computer.
Right.
Now, if this came out, you'd plug it into your TV or you'd watch it, you'd watch it. It'd be very, much more normal than back then.
Are you going to do more of that kind of stuff or is that it for you? Are you packing it in and heading off to dad land?
I don't know, Duncan. That's a good question. We're at a bit of a crossroads. It's interesting when you get to a point in your life as young as I am, 36, mm-hmm. when you've done everything you've thought you wanted to do.
Yeah.
Put out a movie, mm-hmm. made a somewhat successful TV show.
Yeah.
Put out an album. You know, and I've toured, played all over the world. And now it's sort of like, well, I've satisfied my desires for creating things.
Yeah.
That I could rest easily now.
Yeah. You got what that's, I think they call that.
I can't rest easily financially. I have to continue to work.
Well, you got pig in the barnyard syndrome is what they call that. Do you know about pig in the barnyard syndrome?
I've never heard that expression.
Well, sometimes, the farmer will come out and will feed the pig too much, overfeed the pig.
Mm.
And then the pig starts prancing around the barnyard. And it's I've seen videos of it on the internet. So it's interesting. The pig starts acting different, prancing around, very proud pig. Uh-huh. And then usually that's the pig that is the first to slaughter.
Well, that's sure. It's fat. They fatten that pig up.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how that applies to this situation.
No, it's just the pig is sure of itself.
That's not at all what I'm saying.
It's a barnyard pig.
Right.
You know?
So the analogy is that we're just that I'm a pig.
No. I could see how you think that.
Yeah.
Not at all. But there is a thing in nature uh-huh. where a lot of times a being will get, you know, come to a lucky trough. Snort around in it for a while.
A lucky trough.
Yeah.
I've never heard that expression.
You've never heard of the lucky trough?
No. And I resent that you keep throwing the word luck around as if that what's happened to us has been some sort of accident or some kind of lottery.
Look at human existence. What do we come from?
Obviously.
We come from a series of lucky events. I can't believe you're getting defensive over that. We're a product of luck.
I've said this in numerous interviews saying that our success was a combination of luck and hard work and actual inborn creative talent. that is unique to me and Eric and
yeah,
and other people.
You guys did great. So, I give you.
But you seem to focus in on that. That
if
one
you were
element,
a kid,
luck.
I tell you what. If you were a kid and you were bringing me a drawing, I'd put 4 golden stars on it. I'm not. I thought we were in a place where we could talk about life from the perspective of this is all an incredible, unique, beautiful moment mm-hmm. that's happening.
I know, but luck sort of has luck implies that there's no work involved.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Okay. Well, luck is some. There's certainly you don't have any control over it.
You don't have any control over it. It just comes to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, look. I don't know what it's like to be a farm animal. I don't know what it's like to right. live in a pen that you think is your universe and to slurp away at gruel, which is made up of the body parts of probably other pigs. I don't know what that's like. Is it luck? Is it hard work to eat all the time? Is it hard work to feast, constantly feast? I don't know. But it's whatever it is, it's a miracle. Because we all come from nothingness into somethingness, and there's something incredibly special about that. Are you a religious person?
No. How many listeners do you think you have?
A lot.
Why do you think they listen?
Well, it's compelling entertainment.
I don't know why anybody would be listening to this right now, at this stage.
Not all guests are the same.
Well, that's why I don't understand.
Not
why
all guests check their phones. During an interview. What happened? Did you just get a text from the president of Hollywood saying
I'll tell you what I got.
Water wings and dance around on CNN? What do you?
No, I got a Google alerts, which all the press coming in on my career, you know, Movie Line, Inside Pulse, The Atlantic Wire, just a lot of buzz going on right now. Past several.
Why don't you? Can we hear some? Let's hear one of your alerts.
Well, Entertainment Weekly reports that Tribeca Films has gone and bought the polarizing Sundance film The Comedy, which stars comedian Tim Heidecker as some sort of total jerk. Some people loved the movie's frank and brutal depiction of male arrogance and jerkitude.
Hmm.
So that was from The Atlantic.
That's
War.
Interesting. How do they describe you again?
A jerk.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was a real stretch.
I didn't say that.
No, I did. Well, what are we at?
We got 30 more minutes.
Great.
To fill up here.
Well, whoever's still listening, let me recall my favorite Seinfeld episode.
Oh, come on.
It's the Kenny Rogers Roasters.
You duck around. Here's the thing. You duck around. I throw out something that's a meaty bone. I throw out a nice, you know, pot of gruel or whatever you want. It's about religion.
What is this? Real time with Bill Maher? Who cares if I'm religious or not?
Everyone.
Okay. Well, you had your answer. I'm not. I was raised Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
I was. My father was Catholic. My mother was Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
They got put into a Catholic school because that was a better school.
You don't pray?
No, I don't. No.
You don't wake up in the morning and pray?
Absolutely not.
You don't meditate?
No. I used to meditate. I meditate occasionally. I sleep a lot.
That's your meditation? Yeah. Why do you sleep a lot?
I don't really sleep a lot. But I was just making a joke.
Oh.
I did
You don't think you might be a little depressed?
No, I mean, well, yeah, I think every, you know, most people go through phases of depression whatever the opposite of depression is.
Yeah, that seems far away, man. I can remember one specific memory. I remember North Carolina, stepdad comes down the stairs, pale. He reminds me of Jeff Goldblum in The Fly, right? Uh-huh. As that transformation has started. Right. He's a little sick.
Right.
Remember when Jeff Goldblum turned into The Fly, how good he felt?
Yeah, I remember him tearing off those fingernails. That's what I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that represents, you know, peeling away the false exterior and turning into what was really underneath. Just allowing yourself to fully be the thing instead of partially being the thing.
Right. What are you suggesting that? Are you implying that I need to go through some kind of metamorphosis, some kind of change?
I mean, Lady Gaga reinvents herself.
Well, I think that I definitely play with play with my own perception in the public sphere. I think if you know public sphere, that's not something, is it?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Okay. So, sounded weird.
We don't know who you are.
Well,
we see Tim on Tim and Eric. There's that Tim.
Right.
We see Tim on this successful podcast, and who's this abrasive, angry?
I don't feel like I come across as angry and abrasive
person. And then we see Tim on his movies.
Right.
Funny Tim, nice Tim, the Tim right. you want to hug, the sweet Tim from Tim and Eric.
Right.
You know, and then we see Tim in this Tribeca polarizer. Right. And now we've got a jerk.
Well, listen, in terms of the movie, the comedy, that was a part I was cast to play, and that was what the I didn't write it, I didn't direct it. It was a character that I was playing. I think there's a access point where the what makes you naturally funny. Naturally, a witty person,
yes,
connects with a sense of not necessarily being always the nicest person,
right?
Because I think when you're a nice person, you tend to hold your tongue, you tend to maybe not always say what's really on your mind,
right?
You tend to make sure that you're a little more concerned with how the other person feels,
right,
than what you want to say,
right?
So there is a place where those two cross, I think. That I often sometimes say things that might be offensive or hurtful or inappropriate.
Violent?
No, never violent.
Oh yeah, violent.
Okay.
You don't consider it a form of, you don't think words can scar or hurt?
I mean, I very rarely go into that territory.
What territory?
Of violent rhetoric.
Okay, well let's cut. I want to cut back. Let's go back in time. You and I are going down to Occupy Wall Street, down the street. Who do we pass?
We pass Andrew Breitbart.
And what did you say to him?
I think I said, you know, go fuck yourself or something like that. You know,
it was a little bit more than that.
Was it?
You said, fuck you. I can't remember all the things you said. They were very hurtful. It was a stream of anger towards Breitbart.
Right. And I've done that a few different times.
Just finish this. Yeah. Where is Breitbart?
He's dead. He died.
Okay.
Months and, you know, a year later, months later.
Oh, well, I mean, sometimes when the poison dart lands in the neck, the poison
doesn't. Okay, well, listen, if you want to go on your show and accuse me of killing a human being through what I said to him on the street, that's very fine, and that's, you know,
I applaud you on your audacity. I didn't lay that accusation out. I'm just, you said words can't hurt. Mm-hmm. I saw you fire at Breitbart. I saw the look on his face,
mm-hmm. which was, if I recall, a look of
sadness,
glee, and enjoyment of sadomasochistic.
That's what you would see. I saw right. the, you know what I saw? I saw the smiling face mm-hmm. of a child pretending he's not in pain, and because he'd gone down there to do some journalism mm-hmm. at Occupy Wall Street, and he's allowed to be there like anybody else. He passed somebody who's probably one of his favorite comic uh-huh. personas on the street. You called out to him. I imagine his adrenaline went up because he thought you were going to say hello.
If I recall, you seem to quite enjoy the moment yourself. You seem to take a lot of pleasure. And there was almost like all of a sudden I was a little bit of an idol to you for a few hours there. Telling everybody. I mean, you're still talking about it. It's not something that I dwell on very often. I'm sure it's not something he dwells on.
Well, he's dead.
Well, but God, you
he died.
Obsessed with that
he
moment.
He died walking down the sidewalk.
It's like you saw the Beatles there for a minute when
I was
when
in. You know what? I'll admit I was in a dark place at the time.
Okay. Well, I've had that experience very rarely. I had it with Breitbart. I had it in 2008 when the yes on Proposition 8 protesters were standing outside my local mall, and if you recall, that was the people that wanted to ban gay marriage.
Yeah.
They wanted to reverse the gay marriage. And I yelled at those people. I said,
what'd you yell?
I just, you know, go away and fuck you. And, you know, just, I really lost control of my senses a little bit because it really upset me. Because I think what they were standing for was just despicable. And to have them in front of me where I was trying to go do my weekend mall shopping It was very offensive.
Right. Yeah, you were probably
Sorry, my emotions got the better of me. Now that, like I said, that happens maybe once every 3 years or 4 years where something I'll lose my temper. So right. That's not some sort of that's not some sort of activity that I engage in on a regular basis.
Well, no, I mean volcanoes don't constantly erupt. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean there's not burning magma inside
Absolutely.
Of them growing and building.
I think there's a lot of things that frustrate me and upset me about the state of the world and what can you do? I mean, you know, listen, sometimes you're not the best version of yourself. That's just a fact. You keep working on it.
Right.
I'm checking my phone again.
I'm going to check my
Google alerts really only come in once a day, so
yeah.
Shouldn't be seeing another one of them till tomorrow.
Let's see. See if I got any. Nope.
Boy, I really fooled a lot of people on Twitter today. Did you see my tweet today?
No.
I took a, there's this tour, this called the Summerland Tour. And the acts are Sugar Ray, Everclear, Marcy's Playground. Who else? Lit Gin Blossoms.
Yeah.
And it's this tour that these guys are going around.
Yeah.
And I took the website and I just added my name to the end of the list of people playing. So it looks like I'm playing with those guys. And I said, you know, summer tour announcement and put it out. And then a lot of people were confused and,
well, yeah, because you said you were going to be performing somewhere, and you're a performer,
right? But I think
I can remember, you know, yeah, that kind of stuff's good and all, I guess. But mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to wind people up, there's probably some more artful ways to do it.
Yes.
All right, so let's cut to a commercial, and I'll get you one last cup of coffee, and we've
no more coffee, please. I've already had two cups.
Have another.
Are you kidding? I'm going to be wired the whole day.
That's okay. And we're back with Tim Heidecker.
Thanks for having me on. I should have said that at the beginning.
Thank you so much for coming in.
And I'm sorry if I was a little down or anything. And I also want to, I was just trying to be honest earlier about the audience. And I'm not trying to be a jerk. And that's not the joke to me. I guess sometimes it is, but I'm just trying to be myself. And sometimes I'm not the nicest guy. So you can either accept that or reject that.
I accept it. I think you're...
I try to do right by people, and I try to be a good person generally.
You've always, a lot of the times you've been there for me, and not all the time. There were times where, you know...
Could have done more.
You did do a movie not that long ago.
Oh, that you weren't in? Is that what you're implying?
Oh, I wasn't. I forgot.
Were you? A lot of people weren't in it.
I know. No, I didn't say. I was just saying you did a movie and right. It was great. Let's talk more about that.
Okay.
What was it like working with Will Ferrell?
Oh, well, we handled that earlier, if I remember. It was great. Again, still great. Always was great. Always will be.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in. That's Tim.
Oh, well,
that's
thank you very much,
Tim
for
Heidecker.
That was fun.
Check out his website, timheidecker.com. What's your website?
That's something I'm dealing with right now. Visit me on Twitter at timheidecker.com. That's not right either. Just visit me. Just Google my name. And
sign up for Tim's Google alerts. They seem great. They seem really entertaining.
Yeah. And
can anyone get your Google alerts, or just you?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, you could do a Google alert on anything, you know.
Okay.
Sign up for my Google alerts and find out what all the lovely people in the press are saying about me and my work. Just have a great day and enjoy the weather. The weather's great where we are right now, and enjoy the week, and all the best. And geez, happy Mother's Day. and happy Father's Day coming up in June, and happy Memorial Day and the rest, and July 4th and Labor Day. And Halloween. So that'll be it. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you so much.
And happy Thanksgiving.
Always a pleasure to have you in, Tim.
And Merry Christmas. And Happy New Year. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in. It's always...
All right. Thank you very much, Duncan. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's always a pleasure to have you in. It's a spark of light. It's like having a it's like catching lightning in a bottle.
Well, thank you very much. And thanks to all the people listening. And... thanks. Whether or not you're working out or going for a jog or listening in your car or wherever anybody listens, check out On Cinema. If you type in On Cinema podcast in the iTunes, it's the podcast I do. I think it was rated, in the 80s in terms of top podcasts. Mm. So it was a very popular podcast.
In the 80s, huh?
It was floating around the 50s, and it's. But we're trying to get. You know, I don't do a lot to promote it. I come on. This show and that's about it. So, but I think it's a fun. It's different from normal podcasts like this one where it's a more satirical podcast. It's like it's a podcast in character, if you will. It's not a just like a talk show.
So that's Tim Heidecker letting you know about his podcast and anything else you want to plug.
I'm just going to plug the picture that I took of you that I'm going to tweet. So if you are listening to this now, check out my timeline. You should be able to find that. Thanks very much, Duncan. Good luck. Good luck with this podcast.
Thanks, Tim. Now enjoy Dust in the Wind by Kansas. A wonderful song. Dust in the Wind.
Just a drop of water.